It's our pleasure this evening to greet each one of you as we plan to share together in a very meaningful activity, one that the Lord identifies as the everlasting covenant that He desires to make with every one of His children whom He sends here upon the earth. That everlasting covenant is a tremendous instrument in our Lord's arsenal of procedures to use in bringing us back to Him. Probably ranks up there almost equal with the power that He also places upon His Son to prompt Him to visit us and to come and serve as our Redeemer, and to display and to gain the power by which He could seize the keys of death and hell away from Satan, so that He then would control when our life would be taken, and He then would utilize the place that was designated hell for His purposes, not Satan's purposes. So the visit of our Lord to the earth is probably the most important interaction that God has placed in His plan of salvation. But ranking somewhere close to that is this everlasting covenant. He made it with Adam, the first man, and He's made it again, and had to reinstate it or reestablish it upon the earth when men reach a state and they would no longer heed it, no longer use it, and turn against it. Why? He would remove that authority from the earth. But then when He saw fit and wisdom to restore it, He restored it. And in the last days, we're very pleased to have this, which we call in the church, the everlasting covenant. It's something that man does, and if he does, then God follows with something else. And we'll learn about that through Brother Mike when he shares with us. So we welcome each one of you here. And we'll sing as our opening hymn number 201.
River of Israel, Almighty God and Eternal Heavenly Father, we come before Thee thanking Thee for this beautiful Sabbath day that we have been able to come to Thy house of worship. But this evening we especially come with thanks in our heart for Harrison as he makes his covenant with Thee this evening. And I would pray, dear Father, that Thou would be with him in this service, and I would ask that You would be with our brother Mike, who is to bring the challenge, that Thou might bless him in those things that he presents this evening. And I ask for these blessings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
I want to thank our brother Jim for selecting that hymn. It's got to be my favorite. Redeemer of Israel. That is why we're all here tonight. This Redeemer of Israel. I'd like to begin this evening with some scripture found in Genesis, chapter 4, beginning with verse 5. And he gave unto them commandments, that they should worship the Lord their God, and should offer the firstlings of their flocks for an offering unto the Lord. And Adam was obedient unto the commandments of the Lord. And after many days, an angel of the Lord appeared unto Adam, saying, Why dost thou offer sacrifices unto the Lord? And Adam said unto him, I know not, save the Lord commanded me. And then the angel spake, saying, This thing is a similitude of the sacrifice of the only begotten of the Father, which is full of grace and truth. Wherefore thou shalt not do all that thou doest, and wherefore thou shalt do all that thou doest in the name of the Son, and thou shalt repent and call upon God in the name of the Son forevermore. And in that day the Holy Ghost fell upon Adam, which beareth record of the Father and the Son, saying, I am the only begotten of the Father from the beginning, henceforth and forever. That as thou hast fallen, thou mayest be redeemed. And all mankind, even as many as will. And in that day Adam blessed God and was filled, and began to prophesy concerning all the families of the earth, saying, Blessed be the name of God, for because of my transgression my eyes are opened, and in this life I shall have joy. And again, in the flesh, I shall see God. And Eve, his wife, heard all these things and was glad, saying, Were it not for our transgression, we never should have had seed and never should have known good and evil, and the joy of our redemption and the eternal life which God giveth unto all the obedient. And Adam and Eve blessed the name of God, and they made all things known unto their sons and their daughters. And Satan came among them, saying, I am also a son of God. And he commanded them, saying, Believe it not. And they believed it not. And they loved Satan more than God. And men began from that time forth to be carnal, sensual, and devilish. And the Lord God called upon men by the Holy Ghost everywhere and commanded them that they should repent. And as many as believed in the Son and repented of their sins should be saved. You see, this is the same message that we hear today. The same message that was given to Adam, the first man. You see, Adam and Eve were in this Garden of Eden. All things were perfect. And they lived and talked and communed with God face to face. And what a glorious thing that was. But you see, God gave them their agency, their ability to choose. And they exercised that choice. And because of that, they sinned. And they were separated from God and removed from that garden. But God, in His infinite wisdom and mercy, provided for a place, for an opportunity for them to come back into the presence of God. That is the same message that was preached in the beginning as it is preached today. And He also said unto him, if thou wilt, turn unto me, and hearken unto my voice, and believe, and repent of all thy transgressions, and be baptized, even in water, in the name of mine only begotten Son, who is full of grace and truth, which is Jesus Christ. The only name which shall be given under heaven, whereby salvation shall come unto the children of men. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, asking all things in His name, and whatsoever you shall ask, it shall be given you. Even so, ye must be born again into the kingdom of heaven, of water and of the Spirit, and be cleansed by blood, even the blood of mine only begotten, that ye may be sanctified from all sin, and enjoy the words of eternal life in this world, and eternal life in the world to come, even immortal glory. For by the water ye keep the commandment, by the Spirit ye are justified, and by the blood ye are sanctified. And it came to pass, when the Lord had spoken with Adam our father, that Adam cried unto the Lord, and he was caught away by the Spirit of the Lord, and was carried down into the water, and was laid under the water, and was brought forth out of the water, and thus he was baptized. You see, the gospel hasn't changed. Our Savior, Jesus Christ, calls all men back to Him. And we exercise our agency in choosing Him in this covenant of baptism. And so it's a commandment that we must follow. And Harrison this evening is being obedient to that commandment. What a beautiful thing this is. You know, this evening is a time to rejoice, isn't it? Sometimes we think of weddings as being a time of joy and celebration when that covenant is made between a man and a woman for this life to share together. But this is no different, and even better, because this covenant is for eternity. And our brother Harrison is making that choice. And so we should be full of joy and excitement tonight, for this is a wonderful thing. I have truly enjoyed working with Harrison. I remember a reunion in that class about baptism, of all things. And I could tell that you were very interested. And the Spirit, I think, worked with you. And I can't explain it, but I have really enjoyed a bond with you. I'm not sure what it is, other than that we're brothers in Christ. We do have a lot of things in common. We enjoy cheering on the Royals. Of course, that's pretty easy nowadays. We share an appreciation for high-clearance four-wheel vehicles. Harrison let me drive his Jeep on the way to one of our classes. And, you know, I've always been intrigued with Jeeps. And he said, yeah, it's an antique. And I said, well, what year is it? He said, well, it's a 1990. And I had to laugh because that's when I graduated from high school. So I thought that was funny. We have both climbed to the highest point in Colorado. Not together, but we shared that experience. And the joy of reaching the top. It wasn't easy, was it? Well, tonight, you are starting on a whole new journey, beginning your trek on that path to eternal life, entering in through the one and only gate, which is Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God and Savior of all those who covenant with Him. During our classes, we talked about this narrow way, this straight path, straight as in narrow, a body of water between two larger bodies of water. Not straight as linear, but straight as narrow. And there are many that find the wide gate, but few that find that straight and narrow gate. We talked about faith and repentance, and of course baptism by water and by fire, or the Holy Ghost. You know, before you start a journey, for example, climbing this Mount Elbert, you first have to believe that you can actually make it, don't you? You have to have faith that you can actually make it to the top. This summer, I took a trip out to Colorado with my sons Derek and Brady, and we were really looking forward to this trip. And I had been running for several weeks prior to, and 10 days before our trip, I pulled my hamstring, and I was distraught. I was really upset because we were looking forward to this. Nevertheless, we carried on and wasn't sure if I was going to be doing any hiking, but we would do what we could. And I remember thinking the night before when I was struggling to get down to see a stream. I was just going down a couple rocks and I was really struggling. And I thought, there is no way I'm going to be able to make it tomorrow. Well, tomorrow came, and, you know, all I had to do was focus on the next step. I didn't know how far for sure I would go, but every step was critical. My pulled hamstring was on my left leg, and so my right leg did most of the work. And my right leg didn't like me much. But it dragged me up that mountain one step at a time. And I reached the top. and got to enjoy that experience with Derek and Brady. Harrison, I think you'll find in life there might be days when that end goal is a little cloudy. But if you can just take the next step in front of you, you will eventually find your way. And you may have to lean on others to help you. Tonight you are stepping out in faith, knowing that you will not be alone, and you will continue to be supported by your family and your friends, and most importantly, your Father in heaven. You know, that is one of the greatest joys of hiking, being able to share the experience with loved ones. Well, this journey is no different. Always stay close to those loved ones who will continue to encourage you and keep you on that straight and narrow path. I didn't have the privilege of knowing your father. But because I am a father, and because my children have also chosen to be baptized, I can only imagine how pleased your father would be with you choosing to make this covenant tonight and for all eternity. I also believe that he will be one of those loved ones encouraging you along this path all the way to the top of the mountain. Another important step for a successful journey is to prepare for it. This can be done with exercise, becoming fit, and planning to take only the essentials so that you're not weighed down. Similarly, on our spiritual journey, we should repent of our sins, which doth so easily beset us and weigh us down. Tonight, your sins will be forgiven through the grace of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, who volunteered to take upon him our burdens and our sins. This is offered to us throughout our lives because of his unbounding love and his wisdom, knowing that we will face obstacles along the way. This forgiveness he freely gives if we sincerely and humbly repent and turn from our sins to follow him. The Lord asks us to give him our stony hearts so he can replace them with soft ones, hearts of love and compassion. Many in this life, once faced with tragedy, have hardened their hearts towards God. But we as Christians know that we are to keep them soft and that we may always seek him. It's important to have the right tools. Not only to have them, but to use them. You know, I'm around construction quite a bit, and I'm amazed at how good craftsmen are using their tools. For example, a drywall hanger. You know, he'll use just a regular old utility knife, and he'll slice through that drywall in like, you know, a split second, get it cut and up on the wall. I've got the same tool. When I try it, you know, I'm like 10 times slower, and my lines aren't straight. And so it's good to have the right tools, but also to know how to use them. There are many tools that help us in our walk. One of these is the Scriptures. The Word of God, which is described to us as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And this is so true. There are many people that have the tools, and honestly, few of us that actually practice using the tool and take advantage by reading it and making it a part of our lives. In a covenant, each party has something to offer and also something to sacrifice. God offers to us eternal life, joy, peace, His endless love. And this comes through the sacrifice of His only begotten Son on our behalf and for the remission of our sins. But He not only offers all this and much more, but He offers to us the gift of the Holy Ghost that bears record of the Father and the Son. And this Holy Ghost is a comforter to us and will guide us through life's walk, through difficult decisions. When the elders tonight lay their hands upon your head, they will bestow that gift of the Holy Ghost upon you, this baptism of fire. And this too is a tool that you should always recognize and do your best to listen to that still small voice. What we can give and sacrifice is our own will for the will of the Lord's. That doesn't mean we lose our agency or our ability to choose, but we simply choose to seek His will over our own. And also our old self is buried in this watery grave, and we come out a new person, a new creature, forgiven of our sins. Remember to take upon you the name of Christ and keep His commandments. Then we are promised to always have that Spirit to be with us. You know, I talk about tools. I think of an artist. And I could have the same set of paints, paintbrushes, pencils, and try to put together some kind of painting and not come anywhere close to what a masterful painter can do. Well, our Lord is the masterful creator. And you know, He uses tools to do His work. And that again is something that we can offer to Him in return. You see, He's given us gifts and blessings to share, to fulfill our calling, and to further His work. So Harrison, I encourage you to pray and ask the Lord, what gifts have You given me, and how can I help You in Your work? We all can celebrate this evening because we are gaining a new member to the Church of Christ. And I'm very excited. Because Harrison, you're very special. And the Lord loves you. And he is thankful that you have come unto him. And he knows the condition of your heart. And he wants you to know that he will always be with you. And to always follow him. And you will have a life of joy and peace. In closing, I'd like to read a scripture out of the second book of Nephi. For the gate by which you should enter is repentance, and baptism by water, and then cometh a remission of your sins by fire and by the Holy Ghost. And then ye are in this straight and narrow path which leads to eternal life. Yea, ye have entered in by the gate, ye have done according to the commandments of the Father and of the Son. And ye receive the Holy Ghost, which witnesses of the Father and of the Son, unto the fulfilling of the promise which he hath made, that if ye enter in by the way, ye should receive. And now, my beloved brethren, after ye have gotten into the straight and narrow path, I would ask if all is done. Behold, I say unto you, nay, for ye have not come thus far, save it were by the word of Christ, with unshaken faith in him, relying wholly upon the merits of him who is mighty to save. Wherefore ye must press forward with a steadfastness in Christ, having a perfect brightness of hope and a love of God and of all men. Wherefore, if ye shall press forward, feasting upon the word of Christ, and endure to the end, behold, thus saith the Father, ye shall have eternal life. And now behold, my beloved brethren, this is the way, and there is none other way, nor name given under heaven, whereby man can be saved in the kingdom of God. And behold, this is the doctrine of Christ, and the only and true doctrine of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, which is one God.
As Brother Mike so ably shared with us about this event that we're about to witness now of a new life being born, there's probably no more joyful occasions in our earthly life than a new birth. Someone whom has been brought to life and placed in the care of anxious parents that they might be able to inspire and instill within the life of this little child all the joys that can come from being reborn. It takes a few years to do that, but that's nevertheless. As we think of the joy of birth in mortal life and the joy of being reborn into spiritual life is even greater. There's no more joyful prompting event in our spiritual life than to have someone decide to join this body of Christ as they seek a new life in him. And I'm talking about in the body of Christ, not only the earthly branch, but the heavenly branch of that body. Perhaps there's not much greater joy than up in heaven than the birth of a new child, and especially in the rebirth of the child and making that child now eligible to come back from that realm of heaven which it originated. God is so merciful in the way he's planned for all these cycles and these events in our life. So we're looking forward to this. And it's very meaningful, Harrison, to have you make this decision. And it's a great joy to us to hear something from you about how you feel about beginning this and being a part of this event and taking upon a new life, all focused upon Christ and His Father in heaven, who lays the plans for us to come back to Him. Would you want to take a moment and just share some comment with us? Would you stand and do that? Just turn around and use that mic if it's alive. I don't know if it's alive.
Well, it's truly a feeling like no other. It feels amazing, and I'm glad to begin my new life with you all.
So. Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you. It means a lot to me to hear the simple words, but the very meaningful and honest words of someone who's about to take this step that's so meaningful in the lives of all the children of men. Well, it's time to go down to the baptismal waters now. We're going to go up to, I should have said, not down. We're going to sing a hymn, and we want you to stay and sing with us the first verse. That hymn number is 240. And after we sing the first verse, then you too can retreat to the baptism, okay? Number 240, remain seated as we sing this. Harrison, Scott Sharkey will be baptized by his grandfather, Harold Sharkey.
Harrison Scott Sharkey, having been commissioned of Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
We'll sing another hymn in this as an interlude here. till these men can rejoin us. 279. Remain seated for that hymn.
Thank you.
Let's sing another hymn, number 247. 247. Sing number 239. I'd like to invite Harrison to come forward and take the seat, and invite the two officiating elders to also come forward and stand behind him for a moment here. The conveying of this gift of the Holy Spirit, the second part of the everlasting covenant, used to be done, or has been done in the past, was done with Adam, and God himself did that, conveyed that spirit to him. But in times when he has enough saints who have enough faith that he can have a priesthood who can do that for him, then he uses the priesthood as a means of conveying that gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's why that's how we're doing that this day, because we have that. All right, Harrison Sharkey will be confirmed by Elder Donald Sacker, that's his uncle, and Elder Bob Gilbert.
In the most sacred name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, Harrison Scott, we as servants of thine lay our hands upon your head to confirm you a member of the true church of Jesus Christ that has been brought down through the ages from 1830 when it was reorganized, this being a fundamental branch in continuation of that true gospel of Jesus Christ. We would ask thee to be with us in all our endeavors to serve thee and keep the commandments that you have promised us, that if we keep them, we will be blessed. We would ask now, at this time, that Harrison, you would receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, that it would guide you and protect you, watch over you, and as you study, that you would feel this comforter about at all times. The Lord is very pleased with this decision, probably the greatest decision that you've ever made or will ever make in your life, to become a part of His true church. We would ask that Spirit would be with you always, for we know that as time goes on, you will be tempted, because Satan is going to desire you more than ever since you've made this covenant to follow Christ. We are very grateful that we have this gospel restored to us, that we can have these things available to us, such as these gifts. You have been very blessed in many, many ways, and we should continue to pray and study at all times. You've been very blessed with a family of grandparents who have followed the gospel to the best that they could and have tried to mentor you in doing those things which are right. Again, we are thankful to thee that you have come into this church to be a part, and we would also challenge this congregation that they might also always be here to help and guide these young lives as they seek to serve thee. To this end, we are grateful and thankful that we have this opportunity at this time to become part of the Lord's vineyard. To this end, we pray in the most sacred name of our Savior, who is Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Our custom, Harrison, is for the branch that we present scriptures to you, our new member. So I'd like to present those. Our Heavenly Father, it has indeed been a privilege to be here tonight to witness this young brother's commitment and going down into the waters of baptism and receiving your Spirit, that he would join our fellowship and be able to enter one day into your courts of glory. Lord, we pray that your Spirit might be with him. We pray that as each of us leaves this place tonight, that your Spirit would attend us, that you would continue to guide and direct us always, that we would be mindful of you in all that we do, and we indeed would give you the glory, the praise, and the honor in all things that are done. We are so grateful, Father, for the love of your Son, for the sacrifice that he has made, and we offer our thanks to you for giving us the opportunity that we might be part of your fellowship and have that opportunity to come into your kingdom. Bless us this evening, we pray, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.